Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season. This, let me ask you, because the way I kind of look at the rest of the season now, it's, I mean, playoffs are out, so we're not thinking about any of that kind of stuff and a miracle turnaround or all of that. But is it two things? One, obviously, is the development of Tua from here on out. And then two, you know, I was talking about this earlier. Your coaches need to be tested. Well, this is a great test for Brian Flores to see how he can overcome all of this adversity. Is that the way we should look at this season?
No question about it on both counts. To me, priority number one and far above anything else is let's see what Tua has and let's see those clear signs that he's a guy who can become a franchise quarterback, that the Dolphins do not need to go quarterback shopping next offseason. And then we've got 12 weeks to make that happen. Number two is even if there are no playoffs in the cards, and as you mentioned, the odds are really, really not good, but let's see how this team can bounce back from this adversity and, pardon the cliche, but right the ship a little bit to where it's not going south, 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 south every single week and it's getting worse. But instead, let's see some improvement. Let's see some uptick to where maybe they pick up a surprise win or two down the stretch, beat the teams they're supposed to beat and make themselves competitive, and finish with a respectable record to where then you can convince yourself, yeah, maybe this regime deserves another shot.
I'm with you there. How did you think he played this past week? Because I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really smart, how he got rid of that football with a quickness behind that line. I thought he helped that line actually this past week overall. In other words, I don't think he was the problem.
No, he wasn't a problem. I don't know if I go as far as to say he was excellent, because to me, there are a couple of caveats I would put in there. Is number one, I mean, despite his big numbers, number one, he was playing Jacksonville, which is god-awful on defense. I mean, brutal. He threw to a lot of wide-open receivers. And there are a couple of things that I find troubling. Is number one, his passer rating, which was 95.1, which is pretty good. Guess what? It was the second lowest of any quarterback who's faced Jacksonville this year. That's number one. Number two, the Dolphins, despite Tua's 329 yards, put up 20 points, which was the lowest total against Jacksonville this year, which brings me to my final question here is, are we certain that if Jacoby Brissett had played quarterback against Jacksonville that the Dolphins wouldn't have scored more points? So I don't know. I would tell you that for his first game back from the rib injury, I thought Tua played pretty well. I certainly wouldn't go excellent. I saw, I don't know if it was Rex Ryan or somebody else who said that he really struggled. I'm not buying that either. To me, it was somewhere in between. There were some good throws. There were some poor decisions. But if that's going to be the level of performance every week, I'm not sure that's good enough.
No, well, I mean, I think it also depends on the rest of the team, too. I mean, you know, he needs help also in the process. I think that's kind of, I mean, on fourth and one, you take the ball out of his hands. And, you know, that was your most reliable thing all game long. Your running game has yet to be reliable all season long. So I think it also depends, and this is what rolls over into coaching decisions that have gone on. Not just this past week, but for 6 weeks now. Several decisions that can be questioned right now with flowing company. That has to also assist this quarterback like it assists every quarterback out there, bro. I mean, Mahomes has a real positive that he's got Reed and Bieniemy on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Tua has that right now.
No, I agree. But to a certain point, if the guy's a clear franchise quarterback, yeah, it helps that Mahomes has Andy Reed with him. Do we really think for a second that Mahomes would have problems if he didn't play for Andy Reid? I don't think so. I mean, again, if what we want, and for me, I don't want Ryan Tannehill for another 6-7 years. I really don't.
No. Okay?
And Ryan Tannehill, Oh, well, that's the thing. And if you if we're saying that he needs help from everybody else around on the offense, which is understandable. But if we're making that a big thing, then you're talking Ryan Tannehill, because now Ryan Tannehill's succeeding in Tennessee. Sure, because he's got Derrick Henry, who's rushing for 150 yards, despite the fact that opponents are doing nothing but focusing on stopping him. So that's number one. Number two, in a big picture type of thing, it completely boggles the mind. If you take the ball out of Tua's hand on that fourth and one, when part of the evaluation process, and the Dolphins have to think big picture here, part of the evaluation process is, can the kid deliver in situations like these? Don't hand off to Malcolm Brown in the out of the shotgun formation on fourth and one. I mean, that was brutal. That was brutal.
No, that was brutal. Has been Malcolm Brown, period. I mean, nothing has worked, you know, with Malcolm Brown overall. I mean, it just these are the things that are kind of frustrating right now when you're looking at this Dolphin team. Would you make any other changes on the offensive line this week?
No, because I don't know that anything you do is going to make it better. I thought the offensive line looked okay. I saw some places where people are, like, again, throwing flowers at Tua for making the offensive line look good. Well, they had some plays where the protection was really good in and of itself. And I think back to the fourth down pass to Mac Hollins to the 10-yard line, I think that was in the first or second quarter, I want to say. I mean, he had all day to throw. That was, I mean, perfect pass protection. It's not perfect, and it's not going to be perfect, but I don't know what change you can make that's going to make the offensive line that much better, number one. Number two, Brent Flores mentioned this morning when I asked him about the offensive line, there's something to be said for continuity and guys playing in the same spot every week. I mean, we've had the Jacksonville game was the first time they actually stuck with the same line with the guys in the same spot for two games in a row. And again, to me, it wasn't great. And if we want to look at that failed fourth down play, the biggest problem I saw up front wasn't an offensive lineman. It was Durham Smythe, who got smoked by Josh Allen moving inside. And if we're talking about Malcolm Brown, if I may touch on that very quickly, well, that's what you get when you keep bargain shopping for running backs. This has been the Dolphins' approach. They keep saying, we're happy with our guys, we're happy with our guys. Well, no offense, but you have a bunch of Jags. And Miles Gaskin, who logically should be the best running back on that roster, couldn't catch a cold on Sunday. So that's a problem. And they don't have anything special at running back right now, which doesn't help the offensive line, because if the blocking's not there, the running backs are just not going to make anything happen on their own.
Because at this point, man, every game for them is a game they could lose, unfortunately. I can't even say every game or any game is a winnable game. They've got to be careful because they can lose any game now. Falcons, they got the bye week, which Miami chose not to have the bye week last week. So your thoughts?
You kind of completely cut off, so I'm not quite sure what the question was.
Well, they got the Falcons this week. Did you pick them to win? Yeah. Because it seems like every game now, we can't say anymore, this is a winnable game. No, this is actually a game they can lose. And the Falcons ended up with a bye week, and Miami chose not to have a bye week. So how do you look at it now? Because let me tell you, dude, when I've gone to L.A. and come back within the same week, I'm not the same person for like a week and a half or two, that you're kind of discombobulated. So I'm just wondering, for these guys, they went a lot farther, a five-hour difference, and had to make the trip back.
No, and then as a concession to that, dealing with playing right after playing in London, Brian Flores scheduled a walkthrough on Wednesday, which is very unusual. Usually you'll see walkthroughs either on Thursday or Friday. But he mentioned the fact that the guys were coming back off a long trip, which is why he scheduled a walkthrough. No, it's not ideal. And I haven't made my final prediction yet, but it's, as I sit here right now, it's impossible to pick the Dolphins based on what we've seen. I mean, there's no signs that they're getting out of this torpor they're in. And the Falcons are not a great team, but they can throw the ball, and they might have Calvin Ridley in this game, which is certainly not going to help matters for the Dolphins. We don't know yet the status of Xavier Howard and Byron Jones for the game Sunday. I mean, they're out at the walkthrough, but again, it's a walkthrough, and basically, unless your leg's in a cast, you're going to be out there. So No, you mentioned it. Like right now, it's forget winnable games. Every game is a losable game for the Dolphins, yeah. And that might even include a game against Houston, like in 2 Sundays from now.
Alan, before I let you go, what are you hearing? What's your gut telling you? Stephen Ross normally doesn't make changes, but you know there are plenty of people that want blood in the water, and they saw the trade of Grant a couple of weeks ago, and this week they saw nothing happen after the loss to the Jags. Do these guys survive the year, or do you think it's still one of those things that the jury's still out, that it all depends on how this season finishes? How do you think Ross is approaching the rest of this season?
Oh, I think it's a trial period for Brian Flores and Chris Greer. And again, it's going to depend on how the team responds. And the fact that, I mean, Stephen Ross has made changes in season before. I mean, Tony Sperano in 2011, Joe Philbin in 2015. So it's not like he hasn't done it before. I think Brian Flores built a lot of equity by guiding the Dolphins to that 10-6 record last year when their talent level maybe did not suggest 10-6. I think if it goes completely south the rest of the way, once we get to that bye week, December 12th, I certainly would say it's impossible that a change would be made, but I do think that Brian Flores is going to be given every opportunity to get things back on the right track. And what's going to happen on the field on Sunday is going to determine whether he has a shot of coming back next year.
There he is, Alan Poupart.